WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
And we continue with our interviews with the candidates running for mayor of the consolidated city of Indianapolis and Marion County. Jocelyn Tandy Adonde is running for the Republican nomination for mayor, and she joins me live. Jocelyn, is always good to see you. So people are listening. They're engaged, I think, in these issues facing our city. Why are you running?
I'm running because I am the only candidate that is a native-born Indianapolis Hoosier, educated in the public school system with a degree in political science and public affairs from Indiana University. I have over 50 years of community activism and political experience. Just to name a few, I've been the campaign manager for the first black statewide elected official, Dwayne Brown, clerk of the courts in 1990. I was the minority affairs advisor for President Jimmy Carter's reelection campaign in 1980. I was the campaign manager for Dr. Mary Bush in 1980 in the primary for the IPS Board of Commissioners when the Democrats and other black leaders tried to dump her off the school board. And we successfully got her reelected. I worked for U.S. Senator Vance Harkey. I was his minority affairs advisor. And what got me on the campaign trail initially was in 1975, Welch for mayor. I was the only black on staff in headquarters. And in the fall, I was the assistant to the press secretary for Bob Welch. During that campaign, I met all the movers and shakers and money people in this city. I was about 27 years old. I am very disappointed this year with the mayor's race. Number one, there is no incumbent. I'm speaking to the black community and sympathetic whites. This town is on the auction block. You just heard from another multi-million-dollar deal that we would be subsidizing as taxpayers. My platform is your tax dollars. How are they spent? What services are provided? And who reaps the benefits? They have you watching crime and public safety. Yet, Department of Public Safety is on my agenda when elected mayor to restore a respectful relationship between police and citizens, replaced older fire trucks. Now, late last year, it was reported that we have several ladder trucks that cost each around $500,000. We were told that there was no money for the goods and services to the public. Our neighborhoods have been neglected. What I resolved to do, the unresolved business of Mayor Ballard, as a Republican, I testified at City County Council committee meetings against the elimination of the homestead tax credit. While the Republican caucus wanted to take your local homestead tax credit for those of you who own homes and pay for police. This was early last year, but it never made it out of committee. When we talk about summer jobs for our youth, the $18 million that he pledged to give Angie's List, a failing business of 19 years, that was the second bailout for her. She had laid off part of her staff about this time last year. I testified just a week ago at the committee hearing against that $18 million gift. She promises to give us 1,000 jobs by the year 2020. Now, with all the high unemployment in our community, I don't know why it would take her that long to find 1,000 people. I just heard from the soccer people. Now, Mr. Ottemeyer is the owner of Indy 11. Not the gentleman that was in his studio. He was certified as a minority business, and he's from Turkey. citizens from Turkey are not considered minorities under SBA. But he was certified by the city. He is also the owner of Keystone Construction, who built the parking garage in Broad Ripple that nobody wanted. He's also the owner of the building where the Republican headquarters is located now at 47 South Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Now he's coming back under the door wanting $83 million for us to subsidize through the Capital Improvement Board, who we have no authority over. That's just one of the things.
With Jocelyn Tandy Adonde, she's the Republican candidate for mayor. I think in your opening statement, we've heard some of the things you would do differently if you were mayor. How would you prioritize them?
Youth, I would put it like this. My number one priority are our young people, because they're our future.
Mm-hmm.
They are our future. And when you drive the resources in the community, our kids have nothing to do. The money I've seen handed to multimillionaire developers who are from outside this city, some of that money that they have used to subsidize the major projects downtown that was not TIF money, for instance. We had cost overruns with Lucas Oil, public library development, the city market. A $21 million bond was floated for the new Market Square Center downtown. We have been subsidizing these multi-million dollar projects that millionaires own, and we get no benefit. 5 to 10 year tax abatements, meaning that this prime real estate in downtown Indianapolis, these businesses do not pay any taxes for 5 to 10 years. Now, if you drive through downtown, you would see a lot of vacant office buildings with lease signs in the window.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they skip out when the taxes are due on the 11th year or the 6th year, whichever the contract states. Right now, we have a fiasco out at Eastgate. That's a disaster.
That Rock Center thing.
At Rock Center. They knew that property was condemned, and the type of contract that was signed by members in my party, I understand it was a Republican attorney that drew that lease up. I understand that the former public safety director, Mr. Straub, was against that project, but the mayor pushed it through anyway. Rebuild Indy funds. $6 million at Department of Public Works funds was used to start the construction of the incomplete cricket field on South Franklin Road or Shortridge Road, down there on the southeast side of downtown. It's incomplete. I think they spent $2 to $3 million. When we talk about money that we don't have to take care of our young people in this city, we still owe the last amount that I was given was $99 million on the old RCA dome. That debt has not been paid off. We still owe money on Market Square Arena. So all I want to do as mayor is set the record straight. I will have the books audited on all the tax abatements that have been given to all these projects downtown, and look and see who needs to pay the taxpayers back. Nobody has asked for this money back. They skip town. Most of them are out-of-town developers. They bring their own workers in town. You can drive past all of these construction sites. You see very few minorities on the job. We have able-bodied black men who could support their families and pay their child support if they had those good-paying jobs. I was surprised to see so many European men driving garbage trucks. Growing up in this city, collecting the garbage and trash in town, they usually gave those to some of our unskilled black men. Right now, all the jobs are going to the majority members.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We're with Jocelyn Tandy Adonde. She's Republican candidate for mayor. Your opportunity now to find out where she stands on the issues that are important to you in the governance of the 11th largest city in the country. 239-1310. 239-1310. Or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. Monday, Jocelyn.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of professors up at Ball State University issued a document called something on the economic effects of tax increment financing, TIF districts in Indiana. And they came to the conclusion, according to Michael Hicks at Ball State, quote, TIFs are not an effective economic development tool. We found that in the average county, creation of a TIF led to fewer jobs in manufacturing and retail, as well as a slight drop in the number of businesses. You agree with that analysis?
Yes, I do. Because, in fact, in my one of my public policy classes, I studied tax increment financing because I didn't know what it was.
And it's basically, you might as well learn.
Well, I did when I was working on my degree, and then I understood it, and I received a B+ out of the grade. That was one of the questions on the final exam at IU, mm-hmm. And the professor broke it down. Well, what it is. If I took $1 million and subsidized a business, and when they started turning a profit, they put money back in the pot. Then we subsidize the next major project. And it goes on and on and on. This TIF was created to develop downtown Indianapolis. Having grown up here, I'm glad to see our skyline look like a major city. But the problem is, it's out of control now. I think we need to spend money in our neighborhoods. Some neighborhoods do have a TIF. It's helped development in certain areas that have been selected by the powers to be. But if you look throughout the older African-American communities, no money has been spent. If you look at Lafayette Road, East and West 38th Street, when Hispanics and African-Americans started moving to the suburbs, these strip malls that were subsidized by taxpayers have dried up, look like a battle zone, vacant stores. I wonder if the developer of these strip malls had a tax abatement, and then when it was time to pay the taxes on the 11th or 6th or 11th year, skip town. Because if you drive around this city, you would see all kind of vacant strip malls. And I know that they received, before we even knew about it, these abatements. Now, that's good for development, but it's gotten out of control. I'm seeing multimillionaires come into our city. Another project, Blue Indy, those electric cars, where the mayor and his representatives asked the Utility Regulatory Commission to raise your light bill to pay for 25 charging stations for these French cars. These charging stations would not accommodate any other manufactured electric cars. But they want us to pay for it. A French company now. Now, I testified at Chris Posadic's High School back in July or August when Representative Cherish Pryor had that meeting. I wish more of our community had attended that because they bumped me and Cordelia Lewis down to the end after the press left. But Senator Jim Merrick was there representing the mayor's view, and I had to accost him. As president of the African American Republican Council, when they recessed, I talked to him in the hallway, and I said, you all got to be crazy if you think I want to pay an increase on a light bill for a car that I probably would never rent. I mean, you can rent cars for $10 a day. They never even gave the rental fee for these cars. And then there was testimony given that there were the yuppies downtown. They don't want to own a car. So I just heard the people with the soccer field, they want to build it downtown because people want to be able to walk to everything, okay, like a mall. And there was another gentleman that went to the microphone behind this guy and said, well, I own a car. I love my car. But I'm not interested in subsidizing people that don't want to own a car.
239-1310, 239-1310 with Jocelyn Tandy Adonde, Republican candidate for mayor. Let me go to Robert. Hi, Robert.
How you doing, Amos and Jocelyn?
How you doing?
My question is, Jocelyn, what would you do if you became mayor about the Indiana Housing Partnership organization? The reason that I ask the question is because I firmly believe, after the evidence, but I can see how it's being played, the organization is being played against the African-American community. What they do is bring people into established neighborhood where property is being kept, and that organization will put people in there that is maybe at best semi-qualified or not qualified to purchase a home or own a home. They put them in there with the express purpose of a long-range view, to knowing that the inability to have the resources to keep the property up, and eventually it goes down, which depreciates everyone surrounding that property in that particular neighborhood. Would you order them, and if necessary, come up with a plan to phase it out or just let it down the vine?
Robert, I heard that question yesterday on the air.
Yeah.
I have not ran my 10-page resume over the air, or it would take up all the time, but I'm a retired mortgage banker.
Mm-hmm.
My office was located at 3833 North Meridian.
Yes.
I financed homes and commercial properties for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
from 1997 to 2007. Okay, so when it comes to banking and finance and real estate deals, I am very capable of dealing with those issues. I am aware when they came on the scene. And in fact, before I opened my own office, I applied for a position. They didn't hire me. And I guess because my reputation is out there as being activists, civil rights activists, they are not going
to
let me sit on the inside. I had several people come to my office to refinance their homes. And when I called for the payoffs, they were using First Indiana Bank, which is what was owned by the other McKinney's. And when I called for the payoff on this one couple's home, he had hurt his back and was on disability from National Starch, and they were running into some trouble, so he wanted to refinance and pay off some debts. And when I called them, they never sent me the payoff, but they called the client and told them to get their file and come back. They had 100% financing.
Well, you know,
which their credit score and debt to income ratio never should allow.
At these organizations, and the lack of interest in participating in by the community about what is being done to the community, and the only one conclusion I come to is that we have a large segment of the African American population that is happy down on the plantation. See, that people asleep here, and they are not really don't seem like they're interested in trying to make the African community a better place in which to live and enjoy the fruits of their labor.
I appreciate the call, Robert. I got an email at praiseindia.com, Jocelyn Tandy Adonde. The email says, can you ask her opinion on why the electorate is so apathetic toward these politicians and their wealth fare? And also, is Indy ready for a black mayor? Even Cincinnati has had one recently.
Well, that's another reason I'm running. Having grown up here in the civil rights movement, when we had to sit in the balconies in the 50s in the theaters downtown and integrate the Woolworth or Monument Circle, where blacks could buy a hot dog, but they had to go outside and couldn't sit at the lunch counter. Right here in Indianapolis in the 50s. I'm the only one that's not a carpetbagger in this race. And the party that I'm representing, half of the precinct committeemen did not go to that slating convention on Saturday because they didn't approve of the conduct. I was aware that they weren't going to go before they even handpicked Mr. Brewer, who had previously filed for City County Council in District 23 in Perry Township, but when he moved here from New York by way of Chicago, he bought a condo in the old Athletic Club at 350 North Meridian Street. So I don't know when the transition occurred for him to run for mayor, but I can tell you this. I filed on the first day. There was no incumbent. Then I went over to the State House during the inauguration of the Secretary of State, State Auditor, and Treasurer, and told the movers and shakers in the Republican Party from the state on down, State Chairman Murray Clark.
So you told them all you was you, that
I
you
told
was
them I just filed.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew on the first day. Now, the only media person that called me was Rafael Sanchez from Channel 6. 59 has been promoting my opponents, and they had not filed the paperwork. Filing an exploratory committee does not make you a viable candidate to be on the ballot. Before, you have to sign a declaration. I signed a declaration.
Before I take a break, you filed on the first day of filing.
Mm-hmm.
Deputy Mayor Olgin Williams filed on Dr. King Day.
He hasn't filed.
No, I mean, he announced.
He announced.
Yeah, he's not.
That's all.
But he'll be here tomorrow, so maybe he's filling out the paperwork today. And Mr. Brewer, I'm assuming, is filing today. Are you surprised that, not counting Deputy Mayor Williams, I'm going to give him the opportunity tomorrow to say why he's running, but are you surprised that your party, that many leading candidates, potential candidates, bowed out of this race? That it seems like your party was scrambling to find somebody... To find somebody to keep away from you or keep away from the deputy mayor?
Their heir apparent, they're not worried about Olgin. They were worried about me because I'm the one with the track record out here as a grassroots organizer. And they know that when you work your community, I've been out here even at the minister's breakfast this morning. Mr. Hotsett was there, and when he got up, it shocked everybody that he acknowledged my presence. I walked away from 30 years on the other side of the Democrat Party. I ran for mayor against Bart Peterson in the primary in 1999, and then I switched parties because I could no longer support the Democrat Party's platform. Many people wanted to know why I switched. You need to go online and pull up both party platforms and read what they stand for. I'm telling people, ask for the Republican ballot on May 5th. And vote your color, because I'm going to tell you, they are voting theirs. We have a lot of money at stake here. It's not about crime. They got us watching crime while they're signing these big contracts. The mayor has already approved the contracts for this criminal justice center.
All right, we'll take a break here. We're going to come back and talk about the Justice Center, talk about some other issues. Also, your opportunity to ask Jocelyn Tandy Adonde. She literally was the first person in the race for mayor of Indianapolis. She's running in the Republican ballot in the primary in May. It's Afternoons with Amos. Tomorrow, the deputy mayor, Olgin Williams, will be here. Move the date from Friday because President of the United States is coming. And then on Thursday, Joe Hogsett will be here. It's Afternoons with Amos after these.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, president of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. You have been in the Republican Party, Jocelyn, now what?
Since 1999.
So that's 16 years.
Since I ran for mayor the first time.
Since the last open seat. And so obviously you've gotten to know people in that party, because this is not, you're not like Jose Evans and switched 2 years ago. You've been in there for a while.
I knew people in the Republican Party the 30 years. See, let me explain something to our people. Unless you are going to run for office or serve as a precinct committeeman, don't worry about being an R. You do not register as a Republican or Democrat. We're one of 7 states out of 50 that still have a closed primary where when you go to vote, and your vote is supposed to be secret, you have to go in and say, give me a Democrat or Republican ballot. I have been fighting to open up the primaries and have runoffs like Texas and New York and all the big states. If you vote for me in the primary, that does not make you a Republican unless you're planning on running for office, and then both parties require you to have an R or a D from the last primary next to your name to qualify to run in these closed primaries. This is the Democrat and the Republican primary. The Libertarians won ballot position, so they have their convention around August, and then they nominate their candidates, and that third party puts their candidates on the ballot. But Indiana has a closed primary. And whether you vote Democrat or Republican, that does not make you a member of the Democrat Party or the Republican Party.
I've got a couple of text messages for you at 37890, keyword Amos. One, it sounds like your own party doesn't support you. So why not run as an independent instead of a Republican?
No, independent, you have to go get 3,000 and something. 3,000 signatures on a petition for the fall. What you got to understand, me and others organized the African American Republican Council in 2006 when Carl Brizzi was elected prosecutor. And with that one countywide office, this county is not Democratic. We just have weak leadership at this time, in the Republican Party. And there are many white Republicans who want that leadership to change. It did not change. If you look at the new maps, all of these council districts have different numbers. You better check to see when you go to vote if you're voting for the right city county councilor. I have a copy of the maps, and I was really disgusted. Now, I will tell you who Ryan Vaughn, who's now over at Sports Corporation, handed across the table a $225,000 contract to David Brooks, the husband of Congresswoman Susan Brooks, who drew a district map so that she could go to Congress, and everybody else in Marion County is confused. A lot of you went to the polls 2 years ago and thought you were voting for Andre Carson, and you found on the northern tip of Marion County that you had a new congressperson. This gerrymandering has gone on too long. And when you go to vote, vote for somebody that's going to work with you. I promise to have an open door policy. If you want to meet with the mayor, you don't have to go online and fill out an application, okay? I remember in the mayor Hudnut and Goldsmith back in those days when I was on the other side, all I did was picked up the phone and called the mayor's office and said, I have an issue in my community. And I was secretary of the neighborhood board first off. So I called in, and the scheduling secretary Gabe called me back with an appointment. I planned when elected to do the same thing. Forget about having an application online telling me in advance how many people, if what you want to talk to me about, just tell me the subject matter, you will get an appointment.
So if you have Mayor's Night Out under Mayor...
I'm not going to have Mayor's Night Out. They're going to come to the 25th floor. That's the people's building.
Okay. 23913.
Okay.
I was going to ask, if you had a Mayor's Night Out, you would take questions and not questions written down.
You got it.
Okay. 23913. We're going to Don. Hi, Don.
Hey, how you doing, Amos and Jocelyn?
Hey,
Jocelyn, I've been knowing you for years, and you are truly qualified. I appreciate a woman who has a spine that will stand up and be respectful and educated enough to know this city, who's been in this city. So I congratulate you. You will have my vote and my support, and you keep up the good work, young lady. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, 239-1310, 239-1310 is the afternoon's name. I was getting ready before you moved on to another issue, and I appreciated that. Going back to what has been the reaction since you've been in the Republican Party 16 years, so you got that's almost two decades. What has been the reaction of Republicans to this guy nobody's ever heard of before just came to town 2 to 3 years ago?
Don't think that I don't have support. I'm no fool. I have support or I wouldn't be running. I've helped elect too many people in this town in both parties. In 2007, remember U.S. Senator Richard Lugar? He nominated me for the African-American political caucus in Washington, D.C. Okay? Now, I hadn't been over here that long. Now, that upset a lot of people, and then when he ran for a re-election and lost 2 years ago, I put 48 people on the polls to help him get re-elected. However, he lost, but we carried Marion County.
Let me go back to the phones in Rhonda. Hi there.
Hello, good afternoon, Mr. A. Mr. Jocelyn.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
The question I have, Ms. Jocelyn, if you was to become mayor, how could you help the at-risk youth, their families, and the community?
Well, you know, like I said, I'm one of 12 kids that grew up in this community. Douglas and Hanella Tandy had 10 boys and 2 girls. And I'm the youngest girl. I have 6 younger brothers. I have 45 nieces and nephews. Some of them have been through juvenile center. I've gone to juvenile with them and talked to the judge. I know all the issues that our young African-American children face. Plus, okay. I substitute taught in IPS from 2000 to 2009 in middle school while I had my mortgage company. I taught language arts, math, and social studies. They recruited black professionals to come into the classroom and try to motivate our children because the majority staff does not look like us and they don't think our kids can learn. Many of our kids could not read at sixth grade level. I taught middle school. I chose that because having been a former member of the NAACP Executive Committee, our education committee back in the 70s was talking about the high school dropout rate at 16.
Jocelyn, let me follow up on that. Yeah, the mayor control, whoever becomes the next mayor, has control over some schools, the mayor's charter schools. If you're elected mayor, what is your position going to be on education in general and charter schools in particular?
Well, everybody just got through celebrating Dr. King. Dr. King's message in the 60s to black people was education was the key to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's what I grew up under. This new wave about charter schools, school choice is fine, but at the same time, too many of our parents jumped on that bandwagon and disrupted their child's education. They did more damage than good because they didn't know the track record of these charters that came into town. And as you see, they were on TV last week crying because Fall Creek Academy is failing and closing, okay, and that other school was closing. My whole thing is education is the key to freedom. Knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
And it took the John Birchers in this country 60 years since the Civil Rights Movement to put us back on the bus educationally. They're disrupting the public school system. I kept asking, what happened to the basic reading, writing, arithmetic?
Yeah.
You got kids that can't, they're counting on fingers. They cannot even give you correct change if they did get a job at Mickey D's or someplace to give you change. They have to count on fingers, and some of them give you too much money back, and unless you're honest, you give it back to them so the cash register won't come up short.
All right, I appreciate it. Let me go back to the phones in Anonymous. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. What's up?
Oh, yeah, I've got a question. What is going on with the French Connection to all of these big construction projects, the new
Justice Center.
All of that. But I've got another question with that in terms of when the sewer bill was put into place, and then the Veolia, whatever it's called, was bought out. Someone came to my house that was working for Citizens Gas that took over the water company. He told me never to give his name, but he said the French people that took over that money, the sewer bill stuff, they took it and ran. They took the money and left town, just like the things you've been telling and talking about. So now some of the sewer bills are twice as much as the water bill, and that needs to be investigated.
All right. Jocelyn, are you concerned that these French folk keep coming in here and doing these deals?
I'm very much concerned with the high unemployment rate in our community. A lot of the jobs are not being, local people are not being hired. In fact, let me go to jobs and employment on my platform. Mm-hmm. I'm taking things out of order on my platform just to give you tidbits because a lot of people come before our community talking about the subject matter, but they don't have a plan because they don't know the community and the issues in the community. I don't have a speech writer. Because I was the political writer in the Recorder when Miss Trotter owned the Recorder before Amos got the space. Called the black side.
So what would you do about jobs?
I'm getting ready to tell you. You know, I'm still throwing bits and pieces of my resume out here because see, some people do not know me and they moved to this city after my name has been in the Indianapolis Star with a lot of things that I've done in my background. And the Indianapolis Recorder. And if you just moved to town, maybe you don't know who I am. But the people who are writing for the press now, they're acting like she's run before. That's right. And so has Joe Hodson. He ran and lost in the past. Let me tell you something. I'm running to inspire our young people to reach for the stars. They can be president. They can be the governor. They can be the mayor. If they don't see black people running for these top offices, we will always have a white face. What I said to the leaders in my party the day that I filed, I said, who said that the mayor had to be a white man? And, of course, they smiled politely and had that look. Because I know what it is. They don't want a woman mayor. In 1999, Sue Ann Gilroy, the former Secretary of State Republican, was the nominee for the Republican Party in November. The word went out that the men in suits didn't want a woman mayor. And they subsequently supported Mr. Peterson. Now, I already knew that walking in the door. But right now, there's a whole lot of unhappy Republicans in Marion County with this Brewer guy who just been in town 3 years. And they put all their weight behind him, and then up popped the devil on Friday on the blogs about this registration in District 23 in Perry Township where he did not live. And Kyle Walker, guess what? I'll go toe-to-toe with you over this before May 5th, before I let a carpetbagger take over my city and spend my tax money.
Back to the phones quickly, and Lewis, then we'll take a break. Hi there.
How you doing, Ms. Jocelyn, Tandy, Dundee, and Amos Brown?
Hi. Blessed.
Good evening. I've heard you quite often on the radio, and I'll be honest, I'm very impressed with you. I do believe that you are more than qualified. When I've seen the GOP, to me, I'm just going to say it the way it is, totally diss you that way, it really bothered me. It was like a slap in the face to me. How do you pass over qualification? And those are someone that does not even implement those type of qualifications at all.
They know also, my qualifications, sir. That's why they had a problem finding candidates to run against me until the last minute. Think about it. We're talking about the 12th largest city in this country, but many of those Republicans had already signed off on the Democrat opponent. I will tell you why. If you want to hear the truth of what's going on, this time last year or thereabouts, Congressman Andy Jacobs died. He was the kingmaker in the Democrat Party. You had to get his blessing if you wanted to run for any offices. They had not groomed any young white male to take over that role in the Democrat Party. So, the heir apparent to Mayor Ballot was supposed to be Ryan Vaughn. When I looked up in October, they moved him over to the Sports Corporation because for the last 2 years, he's really been the one behind the scenes running the city and cutting these deals that we're talking about. This Criminal Justice Center, this primary is about completing these contracts. The City County Council has not yet even voted to build. I recommend, like we did with Eskenazi, that was a $500,000 deal. A referendum. Let the taxpayers vote. I believe in power to the people. The Constitution says we are a government of the people, by the people, for the people. I don't know what happened to the African-American community after the 60s movement. We registered too many people to vote, and they stayed home last year. Less than 8% of the people registered, and both parties voted in last year's primary. And see what you got? And now you're complaining. Amos wouldn't even run for mayor. And he could have. I mean, I'm just being honest. I asked different prominent black Democrat males and some Republicans to consider running for mayor this year. All of them said no. So you got a black woman, a strong, intelligent black woman. And for Channel 59 and this white media in this town to diss me like they done and take men and throw them in your face and act like I'm incompetent, I will match my 10-page resume against anybody they throw at me.
239-1310. 239-1310 is half the news. Name is, we'll take a break. We'll be back with our remaining moments with Jocelyn Tandy Adonde, Republican candidate for mayor. Another Republican candidate, Olgin Williams, will be here tomorrow. Democratic candidate Joe Hogsett will be here on Thursday. On Friday, depending on what time the president's going to speak, where he's going to speak, what's he going to do, that'll determine what we do on the program on Friday. It's After News with Amos After These.
Hello, this is Sheriff John Layton. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to After News with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
And I want listeners to know this is not the only time we're doing interviews with the candidates for mayor. So if we run out of time, these candidates will be back a couple times before the May primary. 239-1310, we quickly go to Pastor Thornton. Pastor Thornton, you got 1 minute. Let me go to Pam. Pam, you got 1 minute.
Hi, I just wanted to say, my name is Pam Baz, and I've supported, Jocelyn. I know personally her passion about the community. She's not a soft shoe person. So, and she doesn't play around. She knows her stuff. She knows the politics, and she knows what's going on in this community. And it's really time out for somebody to come with the soft shoe and the little tap dance and all that other stuff. We are watching our city go to these multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar companies, taxes going down the drain, children's education going down the drain. And if we want some more of the same old stuff that we've been getting, then we won't vote for her. But I believe that she will be the one mayor that will look out not just for the black community, but for all our communities and all of our money.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Anonymous right quick. Anonymous, you have 1 minute.
Ma'am, you're on a Republican ticket, you say?
Yes, I am.
I'm white, and I'll definitely be voting for you and anybody that I can, you know, convince to vote for you. You sound like a real tiger.
Well, I have quite a few white females that trained me in politics in my early days. Do you remember Bruce Melchett, who was the former state Republican chairperson when I was a Democrat? His wife taught me targeting, and Marjorie Laughlin taught me campaign financing in a Women in Politics seminar at IU SPIA in 1977. And that's where a lot of my knowledge came from those two dynamic white women. Right now, I have quite a few white female Republicans who are helping me with this campaign.
You know, while the gentleman is on the phone, and before I take the last call, and I don't want to run short of time, Jocelyn Tandy, one of our standard closing questions is, if people want more information about your campaign, how do they get a hold of you?
Okay. My email address for the campaign is jttadonde@gmail.com. And my phone number, please feel free to call me and volunteer. Area code 317-956-0274. That's area code 317-956-0274. And I talk to anybody. I will be a mayor for all the citizens and not a select few in this city. And
I sound like you're looking out for the people that live here and not the ones that just want to, you know, play here.
This is my home. And I love this city.
All right, let me go to Eric right quick. Eric, you have 1 minute.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon.
With O.J. Williams being the face of the Hallville community and having a lot of younger voters out in the community, my question to you is, what would you do to attract younger voters, whether it be Democrats or Republicans, that being the African-American community?
I already have created a youth council that is working on my campaign. I'm way ahead of the game on that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I know this, you were telling me before the break this morning you were at Interdenominational Ministers Breakfast. How were you received?
Well, Mr. Hatu was there, and I was like the second speaker, but I know about that over there, but I was received quite well. In fact, over the last few months when I told him I was going to run for mayor, a lot of the women, it's our time, black females. Let's take the 25th floor by storm.
All right. She is Jocelyn Tandy Adonde. She is running for the Republican nomination for mayor of Indianapolis. And you'll be able to hear her interview posted later this evening on PraiseIndy.com tomorrow. Olgin Williams, who is the current deputy mayor, first sitting deputy mayor ever to run for mayor of Indianapolis. We'll hear from him, Joe Hogsett, the Democrat, on Thursday. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, live at 1.